Y'all turn to John chapter 10. We'll get there here in a little while. Y'all heard me say this, I don't know how many times, almost every Sunday probably. And so Jennifer and I don't coordinate what she sings. Me and Daryl don't coordinate what he plays on the board. But it's kind of funny how it lines up sometimes with the message that God wants us to do. So you get that song, I Got Plenty of Time. We're going to kind of discuss that today. But we're going to try to take it, though, and we're going to look at the security in Christ. And right before she sang, we got victory in Jesus. Forever. Got victory in Jesus. So hold that thought. Hold the thought of security in Christ. What's that mean? You know, and I like to start out, you know, with, I always ask questions sometimes. You find out a lot. You know, when you ask questions, you got to answer them. You kind of learn. How secure are you in your salvation? Think about that. That said, how secure are you? Do you have doubts? Do you wonder? When you're thinking about that, this question, next question, do you have salvation, first of all? Have you accepted Christ? We're going to talk about salvation. If you don't have it, you need to listen today so you can get salvation. It's there for you. We'll discuss that. And if you do have it, how secure are you? Are you confident? How confident are you in your salvation? That's what we're going to try to talk about today. So, I was going to say, you know, I always got something pop off about something, but I was going to tell y'all to wear your steel-toed boots, and I forgot to tell y'all because I might be stepping on some toes, maybe. I already stumped mine to death, so I don't feel sorry for you. So let me tell you what salvation is not. We're going to start backwards and come back to it. So what salvation is not. You know, and I don't just come up with stuff, right? I don't just come up with these sermons. And so, you know, God puts something in my life every week. And a lot of times it's not what I had in mind. He changes my mind a lot. But we're going to talk about salvation. So let's talk about what it's not. Number one, you were not saved to wait for heaven. Okay? You were saved to serve while you're waiting to get to heaven. Okay? And we get more into that. The Christian life, if you accepted Christ, that's what you are, a Christian. And you put another title on it if you want to, what dominant, you know, different church or whatever. But if you're a Christian, that's all salvation. It's not passive, meaning not sitting idle. It's active. It's fruitful. And here's the third part. It's transformational. Meaning, that's a big word. You know, I like to put it in our terms. Transform. Change. If you accept Christ, there's going to be a change in your life. If you truly, and we'd like to use that word, if you truly accepted Christ as your Savior, you're going to have a transformation. You're going to change. And He's going to lay it on your heart to serve. We are called. You got that, Christians? We're all called. We're called to live a life of action. Now here's where it kind of gets a little iffy for some of us sometimes. Obedience and service. We're called, you know, we got to do something. You know, I always say a bunch of times to get an action, to get a reaction, there's got to be an action first. You got to do something. You have to do something. Lack of better words, I like how Brother Glenn used to say it. Salvation is just not for fire insurance. Sometimes insurance policy, there's little hidden stuff in there. So how secure are you in your fire insurance? And we need to eliminate that unsecurement, that doubt. You were not saved to sit on the sidelines. You were saved to join the work of Christ in this world. Each and every one of us. And I don't, you know, I got a lot of sermons, did a lot of sermons already on service, on doing something. You know, not everybody preaches, teaches, but there's something. God called each one of us to do something while we're here. Now we can kind of transition. I said of what it's not. That's the things it's not. It's not fire insurance. It's not to sit on the sidelines. It's not to sit idle. It's to serve. It's not a set of rules. You don't go through a program. You don't go through training. And so with that sign out there, our digital sign, if you can see it when you drive by, it's got to drive slow. But read it. There's a saying on there. Or a quote on there. I'm not going to mess it up because I don't have it written down. But God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the call. Because if you're waiting to get qualified to serve the Lord, you'll never serve the Lord. And it's a relationship. It's not a set of rules. It's not training. It just answered his obedience, his call and obedience as a relationship with him. You got to have that personal relationship. It's more than knowing Jesus. There's a lot of people know Jesus, including Satan himself. Okay? You got to have a relationship with him. You know, and I say a bunch of times, you know, just think of friendships. How you build a friendship, relationships. You get involved with each other. You share things, you talk about things, you know, you get to know that personal stuff. That's what Jesus wants. He wants that personal relationship. And the only way you're going to do it is get involved with Jesus. And let me throw this at you. Being a member of a church or religion, or even having religious parents, does not guarantee salvation. It is a personal relationship to God, with God. It's a choice that you have to make. You have to make that choice. So let me tell you some biblical truth. There's two places for to go to eternally. There's heaven and there's hell. Hell's real. It's hot. It's really hot. It's a bad place to be. And you have, we talked about this the other day, you absolutely have to do nothing to go to hell. You can be a good person, as the world sees it, and still go to hell. The only way you're not going to go to hell, if you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And how do you do that? No, I can't never go a sermon without saying John 14:6. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ, you got to accept him. He did it all the work for us. He died on the cross. He busted the grave open, come back out of it. He died for us. And it's a choice we got to make. He's not going to force you to accept him. But he's there. He's there for you. He's waiting on you. And it's a gift from God. You don't earn it. That didn't sound right, earn it. I got bad English. You don't deserve it. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't be that good. Just, I want you to really think about it. How good do you think you really are? We're dirty. Dirty rags. But because of grace of God, he freely gave us a gift, his son Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. That's the only reason, the only way we can go to heaven and not go to hell. We all deserve to go to hell. And salvation is not just simply the end. You don't just accept Christ, say you accept Christ, and do what you want to do for the rest of your life. You got to do something for him. I'll get to the sermon here in a minute. We're just doing an overview. We got an hour or two. We're all right. It's a new journey. You accept Christ, it's a journey. It's a new journey. You progress as you go. You learn as you go. You get closer to Him. That's why it's so important when a new person comes to Christ, and I don't care what the age is, but a newborn Christian in Christ, except for Christ, we got to be there for them. We got to guide them. We just can't say, oh, he baptized, he's good to go. Which brings me to another point. Baptism itself does not save you. Okay, that's obedience, what he calls you to do. Accepting Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior, what saves you. Now here's a big one. Are you ready for this? Salvation is not a license to sin. Thank you, because I was fixing to say something else that would probably get me in trouble. You cannot go intentionally, go out into this world, live your life, lack of better words, like hell, call yourself a Christian, and think you're going to be okay. You can't do it. You cannot do it. Now, do we stumble? Do we trip over a block sometime? Fall face first? I've done it. But that Holy Spirit that Jesus left behind for us is in here. You know when you do wrong, when you go against Christ. If you're a Christian, you know when you messed up. And that's when you immediately, right then, you better repent. You better go to Christ. Say, hey, I messed it up. I messed it up again. Lord, please take this from me. And he will. Now, when you don't have that little thing inside telling you messed up, now we might have a different issue. And so you might not be where you think you're at. And we cannot intentionally go out there, oh, I just ask for forgiveness later. Can't go confess. Every time you can't intentionally mess up, oh, I'll just go confess later my sins. Don't work that way. And salvation is not about you. Thought about that? Now, I've seen the total opposite of that. I've seen people, think they're holier than thou. It ain't about you. You didn't do anything but accept Christ. You made that one choice. Jesus did it for you, so you could do it. So it's not about you. It's not about your own glory. It's all about God's glory. Working for him. Y'all ready for the sermon? All right. I just want to lay down the foundation of what sin is. I mean, what salvation is and is not. We talk about sin too, what sin is. You know, let me tell you the definition of sin. Anything that separates you from God. If it takes away your time with God. You know, it's not necessarily bad things that we, as the world, call bad things. Steal, kill. You know, that's sin too. But anything that hinders you from getting closer to God can be a sin. So John, let me read scripture. John 10:27 through 29. That's our key verse. I want you to listen to this. I read this, I don't know how many times in my life, but just let it soak in. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Amen. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now here's what I want you to wrap your head around. I and the Father are one. See how that works? Jesus already told us in John 14, you can't go to the Father unless you go through me. Once you make that transition over to that side, to God, then Jesus and the Father are one. And my sheep, if you accept Christ, listen to my voice. You can listen to God, to Jesus. And here's the good side of it. It's just not somebody that we can't see, you know, that we might see one day when we get to heaven in our mind. He is present all the time with us. And he says, I know them. He knows us. You get to know Jesus, he knows you. And we will follow him. Just think of the sheep, the shepherd. That's what he compared it to. The sheep recognize the voice. They're going to follow him when he calls. You catch that? When he calls. Jesus, when he calls, what we're going to do? We're going to follow him. Or let me rephrase that. We should follow him. If you're going to be his sheep, but he said, my sheep listen to my voice. Salvation is a gift from God, not earned. I'm butchering that word. From human effort. It's God's grace. What is grace? Y'all know what grace is? Grace is something you receive that you don't deserve. You can't give it back because you didn't deserve to get it in the first place. So God's grace, you're able to get salvation. 1 John 2:2 is a reference to Jesus' atonement. First of all, let's talk about what he did. So we did a little bit. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ provides full payment for your sin. Let me break that down too. Your past sin, your present sin, and your future sin. Remember that the moment you accept Christ, you're in that eternity perspective with him. We're just passing through this world. We're just going to transition right on into eternity with him. So whatever sin you did, have done, will do, he's forgiven. He's took care of it. He's paid it all in full. When he ascended back to heaven, he left the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, with us. The Holy Spirit indwells in us, and it seals us for our future inheritance. Remember I told you, when we mess up, we feel that little thing inside that says we messed up? That's the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left this earth, ascended back to heaven, after he defeated death, paid for our sins, he left the Holy Spirit to guide us. He left it here for us, with us. Romans 8:38-39, it says it better than I can preach it. For I am convinced. That means you're sure of yourself. That neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let me break that down for you. That's everything. All. He covered it all by whatever you can think of in creation that's been created by God, including the demons themselves. They cannot separate you from the love of God. They cannot. You got to be convinced. You got to be sure of that. And I'm preaching this for a reason, because I've been dealing for the last 2 weeks with multiple different ones about having that doubt. You got to get out of that. We got to get rid of that doubt. And stuff, because it's going to hold you back. It's going to hinder you. It's human nature. We live in a fallen world. Things are going to happen. Things are bad or good. You know, I call it the good, bad, and ugly. Whatever emotion state you're in at this moment, right now, today, you got to put your belief and your security in Jesus Christ. I don't care what it is. Even if you're having a good old day right now, you still got to give it to God. Give it to Christ. You got to stay, and you got to have that security that nothing can separate you from Jesus Christ. And I can't emphasize that enough. So we got that assurance of security. What are we assured of? You know what we're assured of? Eternal life, for one thing. Now, we heard that. Everybody in here heard that. Oh, we got eternal life. What does that really mean? You ever thought about it, what eternal life means? Have you dwelled on that? Thought about that? If you have, you still ain't figured it out. Because that's beyond human understanding. What did you guys say, though? He's above that. You got to have that faith and security in Christ that he got it taken care of. Whatever the future holds, eternity, or whatever the future had in the past, God is in complete control all the time. He's not one time ever has he not been in control of every circumstance in your life, my life, everybody else's life. He is total control. And we are assured of that eternal life. Believers, that's John 3:16, matter of fact. Believers are promised eternal life and will never perish. Never perish. There's no separation. We talked about that. Nothing, including even any created being, can separate believers from God's love. You know, God created Satan too, right? And the demons. He created them. So guess who he's in control of? Everything. Everybody. Anything that's ever come along. And we got divine protection. We got eternal life. We got the guarantee not to be separated. And we got divine protection. Does that mean that nothing's bad going to happen to you? Y'all been around long enough, bad things happen. Bad things are going to happen. But where's your focus at? What's God putting you through that at that moment? You might not never know why you're here. We might not never know why whatever in our life happens. But I tell you what he is looking for, though. How close are you going to get to him? How much are you going to focus on his protection? Just look at the things that happened to you in the past before. You come out the other side. You're still here. What changed in your relationship with God? Did it get you closer? Or did you let it separate you from him? He didn't separate from you. He's there. There's no circumstance that he cannot be in control of. It's on you. Believers are held securely in God's hand and keeps them safe. Now this is goofy, or it's not goofy, because so listen, I don't know how to explain this. The worst thing that can possibly happen to you. Some of y'all, that might be death. If you're secured in Christ, you got Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me, lack of better words, who cares? You're going to leave this world behind and instantly step into eternity with him. Now, I say that, you know, you say, oh, well, it's easy for you to say you ain't died yet. No, I hadn't. But I'm telling you, you got to have that confidence in Jesus Christ that he has control, that even death is nothing if you stay focused with him. Now, we're going to miss our loved ones and all that stuff. Yeah, that's human. That's part of it. But if they're secured in Christ, you're going to see them again. You're going to see them again. And I guarantee you, anybody that's in heaven right now, if they had a choice to come back, they'll say, no, I will wait on him. So bad things are going to happen. You're going to have a rough time. But God's in control. He still has control of it. And the end of at the end, if you live like this woman just lived 102 years, that's a long time. That's not even a drop in the bucket to eternity. Nothing in this world matters except the choice you made to choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Nothing. Nothing. And it's an unbreakable covenant. unbreakable. You can't be separated. He's not going to break his covenant. Read Psalms 89 when you get a chance one day. The relationship between God and believers is a covenant that cannot be broken. And I know we've been talking about that here a little bit. Cannot. When you lose your way or you drift off, you notice how I said you, not him. God ain't going nowhere. It's us. If your relationship with God right now ain't where it needs to be, guess whose fault that is? Yours, not his. It's all there for you. You got to stay with him. So we're talking about this security. If you got that security, talk about getting rid of that doubt. And stuff. Freedom from doubt. You got to get rid of doubt. Will absolutely eat you up. I've been there before. I'm not sitting here saying I ain't never went through none of this. I have. But we got to get rid of that doubt no matter what happens and know how secure we are in Christ. Remember back what salvation is not. Remember, it's not a license to sin. It's not a free, isn't it free for all? So, got to keep that in perspective when we're talking about this security and this eternal security we got. And let me throw this out here. Just because you say I'm a Christian and you go through the doors of church every time they open and you get baptized, my mama was saved, my daddy was a Christian, my daddy was a pastor, whatever. And so that does not do nothing for you. Now, it puts you in a situation where you're hearing the word. So parents, grandparents, and bring your kids to church. But what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, it's that individual makes that choice. Nobody can do it for you. Nobody. It gives you freedom from doubt. It eliminates uncertainty about your salvation. Gets rid of it. And it also gives you boldness in witnessing. Remember earlier? We got to be doing something. Witnessing is however that is to you. Now, we talked about that before. You can witness in a jillion ways. Email, phone call, whatever. We got to be witnessing. Your testimony, the way you carry and act yourself, and your confidence that you have, that you know you have salvation, is a witness in itself. How you handle bad situations when things get rough. People are always watching you. They see how you do. You're going to cuss God when something bad happens and then go back to church and clean up? Or are you going to hold steadfast? Are you going to continue to be close to God through your situations? And you got that. You walk with that confidence. Now, there's a fine line. I ain't talking about being arrogant. But you got to have that confidence. You walk with confidence that you got Jesus Christ on your side. And that's a bold witness in itself. And then, of course, obedience and service. We talked about that a bunch. But security motivates believers to live a life pleasing to God and serve Him. Carry yourself the way you're supposed to carry yourself. Perseverance in trials. James 1:2. You won't get your toes stepped on, read the book of James. That's your homework assignment. It just came to me. So all that, you got security. Here's the ultimate. That's what we're looking for and what we got. Not what we're looking for. We have it. We just got to get to it. Glorification. We're going to be glorified when that time has come, either when He takes us from here or He comes back and get us. We're going to be glorified with Him for eternity, forever and ever. The salvation accumulates in glorification, meaning they will be with Christ in heaven forever. Remember, I got that silly illustration. You know, forever goes both directions. Ever that way in the back and ever that way forward. It encompasses everything forever. Before creation, there was God. There was Jesus, and there was the Holy Spirit. Our time is for us. Creation started time for us. There's no time. There's no eternity is no timeline. So how you maintain all this? It's like, yeah, you're talking a good game there, but how you maintain it when things do happen? Well, let me tell you. I'm glad you asked. You ask questions, I answer them. Abide in Christ. John 15, chapter 15. First of all, you got to abide in Christ. Well, you got to accept Him. We covered that. You accept Christ. Now you got to stay in Christ. You got to abide in Him. He says, you abide in me, I abide in you. You do that through prayer, Bible study, obedience. That's just whatever else you can think of that fits into serving Him. That's how you stay connected. Stay connected in Him. Oh, yeah, and that also means you stay abiding in Him tomorrow, too. It's a holiday tomorrow. I was going to say something, but better not. So what you can do on the holiday? You're going to stay in Christ. You're going to abide in Christ. And it's also rest a week. You got to abide in Christ daily basis. You got, when you do stumble, you got to repent and you got to confess. Lord, I messed up. I done this. Please forgive me. Now, it's not a free fall. Don't have in the back of your mind preset, I'm going to do this tomorrow on the lake in the boat. Then I go ask, when I get home tomorrow night, I pray. It don't work that way. Believers are encouraged to confess their sins and turn away from them, knowing that God is faithful to forgive. Then you got to trust God. You got to obey Him, but you got to trust. Remember that song, Trust and Obey? You got to trust Him. Obey Him. You got to rely on that through Scripture. You got to know His Word. In order to know Jesus Christ, you got to know Him by His Word, His Scripture. And you got to keep growing in faith. You don't accept Christ and you're done. Remember the fire insurance deal? That's not going to give you confidence. Lord, I hope I go to heaven. You don't need that. You need to say, I'm going to heaven. When my time is up, I'm going to heaven. When Jesus calls you home. Hey, let me tell you this. You are immortal while you're serving God until He's through with you. You catch that? God's going to keep you here. If you're serving Him, He's going to keep you here as long as you're needed. So don't worry about it. When you're not needed, when He's done with you, let Him decide when you're done. Don't speed it up. Let Him be in control of that. We got to grow in understanding and application of biblical truth. So if you got salvation, if you have it already, you're on the right track. Erase that doubt. Abide in Him. Serve Him a daily basis. Read His Word. Saturate yourself in His Word. Let me throw this little story out here. Not a story. You know, you read the Bible. We need to. You get a daily app on your phone, read a scripture. A friend of mine recently gave me a devotional book for each month, for each day of the month. Don't sound like a lot, right? It takes you 2 minutes to read a devotion. It takes you, He don't ask you to read the book at one setting, the Bible in one setting. Just, and it'll grow. If you just practice daily reading His Word, studying His Scripture, reading something, praying,
And then it would get more of a habit. And then he'll add more to you. You can read more. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to do none of that stuff. All you need to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and trust Him and serve Him. If you don't have Christ, that's for the believer. If you don't have Christ, there's no better time. You don't know how much time you're going to have. You don't know that. You might live to 102 like this lady did, or you might not. Are you willing to chance that? To spend eternity in hell that's designed for Satan and his followers, not for you? That's where you're headed if you don't have Christ. There's no in-between. Like the old joke somebody told me, it's like being pregnant. You either are or you're not. You're either a Christian or you're not. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. There's no in-between. I'm glad y'all laugh a little bit. Hey, this journey can be fun too. Have a good time with it. Get that sour pickle out of your mouth every now and then so your face will loosen up. I'm just playing. If you need Jesus Christ, we can play a song of invitation. I'm going to pray. Everybody stand. If you need to pray where you're at, accept Christ where you're at. I'm standing down in front of you. If you need to come up to me, I can't do nothing. It's all in Jesus' hands. I can point you in the direction that you might need to go. As we play the song, it's open up front. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for your word. Just thank you for what you've done for us today. Just be with us. Give us the confidence that we do need, that we do have, we can have with you. Just thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.